Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Well, welcome everyone. We're live in studio tonight, and I know many of you are stuck at home. This is the COVID-19 era. That means, let's just talk sports. The ballparks are silent. The arenas are quiet. And we are tapping in where we can to our own nostalgia. In my case, a lot of MLB channel, the Major League Baseball channel. They're playing a lot of cool older stuff. And I've even been going over there to archives.com, I think it is, where you can listen to some historic baseball games. But one thing you won't find if you click on that website is you will not find history being made by my guests, and we need to get them to change that. We need to have some Spanish language baseball on that archives.com because it has been a part of the game for a long, long time. My guest tonight, it is a real pleasure to be joined by Amara P. Gonzalez, who is the radio broadcaster with the Oakland Athletics. To say that for baseball nuts like myself is enough, but it's not enough to say that, Amara, because you are not only in your third, I think, tenure as voice of the A's for Spanish broadcasts in the Bay Area, but you are iconic, and you're too humble to use that word on yourself, but you have been broadcasting Major League Baseball for more franchises than any man in the Spanish media circles. And this, when it does begin, because we will have baseball, I believe, will be your 43rd season behind the microphone calling play-by-play of Major League Baseball. Thanks so much for joining me tonight on Scorecard Scribbling, Amara P. Gonzalez.
Thank you, Brent. It's my pleasure. Yes, I've been doing this for 40-some years, and I feel blessed, and I'm happy. Although I'm missing the start of the season, like most of us, of course, because of the COVID, like you mentioned, 19. I wonder if somebody's going to name their kid COVID and then wear number 19. Just throwing that in there. I don't know.
I mean, we want to hope that all of these efforts will create a non-impactful and save lives. And, of course, that it will allow us to all go, see, what was such a big deal? I'd be okay with that if this works, and then we all go, see, it was no big deal because it works. But that's a story for another. I want to talk baseball. How about you?
Sure.
You and I met at the which I have had our mutual friend Zach Ford was kind enough to invite me to a Society of American Baseball Research event where the San Francisco chapter, the Bay Area chapter, excuse me, and the Sacramento chapter, the Dusty Baker chapter, got together and had many, many speakers, and I really enjoyed that. And for people who are interested in baseball, Sabre is amazing. And you and I got a chance to meet. I know that over the years, because I worked in Anaheim, we've certainly have bumped into each other over the years, but we had a nice long conversation about baseball. And with you, I don't know where to begin other than where you are now. The third go-around, right, with the A's, and, well, you've certainly done more A's broadcasts in Spanish language than anybody, I'm guessing, and you're on your eighth season coming up on your third time through, right?
That is correct. I was the first guy here in Northern California to broadcast in Spanish language. I started with the controversial Charlie O'Finley, if you all remember, the owner of the Oakland A's, who won three consecutive World Series, 72, 73, 74. I came in a little bit after that in 1977. And, yes, I remember those days, and I remember Charlie in those days. The owners, he loved the game, though. Charlie Finley, you might say about him whatever you want to say. He was very controversial. As you know, he didn't like to pay the players millions of dollars. But he knew the game. He really knew the game. And sometimes he would walk in the press box and ask me, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine, Mr. Finley. And those were the days. I was, mm-hmm. I mean, 31, maybe 29 years old, left the U.S. Army. I served 2 years during the Vietnam conflict. I was drafted by President Johnson in 1966, so I've been around. But I've been blessed to have been doing this for so long. And I also called with Jose Tolentino, who lives, I believe, in Anaheim, a couple of Caribbean World Series for Fox TV International 2001, some time ago. But I'm glad to be doing this, and I love to talk baseball with you and your fans, of course.
And I encourage people to. Well, you even have your own website and all that. But I'm looking at the A's media guide. There's so much more I could tell you about Amari's career, and I want to get into your early life too a little later. But you know, we were talking about, and you mentioned to me in an email today that you're taking time writing articles, looking back at time. You were working on a very interesting piece today, right?
Yeah, the 1981 baseball series. You probably remember there was the season got started regularly in April, I believe, like always. But from June to August, it was delayed. There was a strike by the players about the free agent player compensation. The owners were in favor of a system which they got a player of similar value for each other player, kind of confusing all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oakland Athletics ended the season with 64-45, the best record in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a short season. We went to Kansas City. We beat the Royals there two games. Then we came back here to Oakland, and we swept them. Then we moved to New York. We flew from, I remember it was a day off or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
We went to New York. And the Yankees did to us what we did to Kansas City. They beat us in game one and two at Yankee Stadium. That was old Yankee Stadium, the real Yankee Stadium. And then we came back to the Oakland Coliseum, and Dave Righetti beat Matt Keogh 4-0, and we stayed home. That's it. And I watched the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series. I did go and cover it. I didn't broadcast it, but I covered it for a radio station in the Bay Area, that World Series with Tommy Lasorda won it for the Dodgers, and, Bob Lemon lost it for the Yankees. It was very exciting, but it was a crazy season because over 700 games were lost amongst all the teams.
And it took a while for the fans. Boy, the fans do not, baseball fans are the most loyal of all sports. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The most, in my opinion, the most loving because of the history and the connection we have with our families and over decades. But also, you take their game away from them, they don't like that. And it took a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Especially it was man-made, right? The players wanted more money. I understand mm-hmm. all that. It's part of, life, right?
Right.
You ask for more money from your employer, and they have a good union. The Major League Players Association, Marvin Miller was terrific, a pioneer. I believe he's in the Hall of Fame, defending the rights of the players, because there was a time in baseball that the owners it was an owner's game. Now the players, it's a player's game. But I agree with you, it took a while for the fans to come back. And because it was a man-made stoppage, right?
And right.
What's happening now, it just happens. It's a virus. It's attacking the whole world. So it's a totally different situation. But,
right. Yeah,
I remember those days. It's kind of hectic, I believe you either start a season or just cancel it. I hope we play at least a half a season this year.
Sure.
But to start a season and then just to go on strike from June to August, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that was a year to forget for baseball fans.
Yes.
So many
yes.
great memories, though. So many great memories. And, starting with the A's you mentioned from Charlie O, I want to take a break. And when we come back, we will speak to Amari about, not just being a Hall of Famer, but being in the Cuban Hall of Fame. Being co-founder of the Hispanic Heritage Baseball Museum and just the career and the way, as you and I are talking, that the game has changed and it has we don't want some of these characters that you and I have enjoyed over the years to be forgotten because they were, like Charlie O and others, they were important that they did the things they did and kept baseball on the forefront. We'll be back with Amari P. Gonzalez, the radio play-by-play voice of the A's, the Oakland A's. I believe it. Baseball will be here, but hey, we're taking a break, so we're going to talk baseball and scorecard scribbling. Stick with us.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems, having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. Brent Weber, your host. Amari P. Gonzalez is our guest, a pioneer in establishing Spanish baseball radio play-by-play, not just in the Bay Area, but in the United States. And I'm just cherry-picking some information so you'll know about Amari. He's called World Series games, World Series for the CBS Hispanic Network, three World Series for the A's, the 2002 Series for the Giants, and lives in Fremont now, and has done so many other things. But how about that for a little boy that came over from Cuba, huh? Back in 1961. You're a couple of years older than me because I was born in 61, Amari. But baseball was in – people who have never been – I've never been to Cuba, but who understand baseball is more than a religion. It is in the blood of people that are there.
That's absolutely right, Brent. Baseball in Cuba, it doesn't matter what kind of government we have down there. It's like soccer in Brazil, right? It's more, yeah. Everybody has it in the DNA. I play quite a bit, never professionally, obviously, but I always enjoyed it. I love the game. I respect the game. There's no game like baseball as far as I'm concerned. And you mentioned before, like, you know, it's like a family, and I have the pleasure of traveling for many years with teams, and you know the players, and it's just a different feel. I broadcast the Warriors too for 7 years in the, during the winter when the Warriors were not winning. We had Don Nelson. That was a good team. Chris Mullin, you know, Latrell Sprewell, Tim Hardaway, Billy Owens. But we didn't play defense. But anyway, when you travel, you establish this relationship with the players, and then you become, you feel like you're a player, really. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you, when you travel charter, you're blessed. I don't know how the writers do it. They have to fly on their own, you know, from airport to airport now, from after 9/11 now, obviously, for years now, you have to go through security. It's tough. But when you travel with the team, it's really, it's a fantasy, it really is.
Let's talk about some of these A's teams. You mentioned Charlie Finley, and for those who are younger baseball fans, people like Charlie Finley, Bill Veeck, in a different vein. You know, in my opinion, George Steinbrenner was a wannabe those guys, yeah. In a way, because he just used a lot of money and stood in front of the camera all the time. But I'm not picking on George Steinbrenner, I guess it sounds like him. But my point is, there's so many of those kind of characters back in the, you know, the baseball before TV was a daily thing, that that people didn't know. But, boy, they worked hard to keep the games going and exciting. And you must have seen some of that through the years. I mean, you were in – heck, you were in Seattle when baseball was on the – kind of on the ropes a little bit. And you've seen some characters that have helped keep the game in the forefront.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Charlie Finley was unique, like I mentioned before. He understood the game. And I know most of the owners do, but some owners, let's face it, they're corporate. The owners, I believe, for years, I don't know, the ownership of the Mariners, the gentleman used to live in Tokyo. I think he used to run the Nintendo company. And I remember in talking to the people in Seattle and said, once in a while he watches a game on TV, on cable, I guess. He didn't live in the United States. So... there's a character, right? I mean, he probably saw 10 games a year, and he owned a team, right? But Charlie Finley was right on top of everything. Campy Campaneris, a good friend of mine, who's obviously retired years ago, he comes down here with sign autographs for FanFest, and in spring training in Mesa with the A's train. Unfortunately, this year, you know, it was canceled. He would be there, and he respected Charlie, and he said, Charlie came and talked to me a little bit and asked me, and he said my English wasn't that good, Campy says, but he asked me, you should have bunted in the third inning. Well, you know, Billy and whatever. So that type of owner, you don't see now. It was a different time of the game, right? I mean, I remember Charlie Finley sold the team to the Wally Hatch family, which is the Levi Strauss company based in San Francisco, I believe in 1979, for $3.5 million. The whole team with Ricky Henderson, the young Ricky Henderson in left field, Dwayne Murphy, Tony Armas. And, I mean, those days, they were unique, you know. And now baseball has become a huge business. You know, payrolls of $200 million. Mike Trout, God bless him, best player I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Probably the best in the game now. You know, making, what, $300 million. So I've seen the transformation. But it's not only the money. You know, the style of baseball, Brent, has changed a lot now. You know, you don't see the hit and run. Everybody, you can have a guy hitting 235, and the shift is on one side because he's a home run hitter. It's a different game now. I still love the game, but it's quite different than when I got started.
Yeah, it was interesting how last season unfolded with the barrage of home runs, and then after the All-Star break, they began to slow down. And I think there's two reasons for that. Obviously, pitchers began changing their approach, but, you know, clearly the ball was tighter. We know that the laces they determined might have been there was less more drag, less drag, whatever. The laces were a little bit lower, they determined, and that may have been leading to the ball flying out of ballpark. Either way, anything that kind of takes those other elements out of the game, I think, hurts. Although, you know, like if you're not a baseball guy, you think it's great. But to me, I miss those things. I miss Ricky Henderson splashing that dirt off of him. Love him or hate him, I was watching him on MLB Today. They had one of those 20th greatest games of all time from back in when the Cubs and Phillies went extra innings, and it was like 23-22. They showed Pete Rose, you know, tagging up in a 18-run game, you know, tagging up at second and going to third head first. You know, I missed that part of the game. It doesn't mean these guys don't hustle. I think I don't want people to think that. It's just there. It is a little bit more calculated with the statistics, I think. And
it's become basically a home run or strikeout game. I mean, there was nothing more, like you mentioned, a guy like Pete Rose, or how about Brett Butler dragging a bunt to first base and beating, you know, the throw to first. I mean, Ricky Henderson didn't bunt a lot because basically he was on base all the time, and he stole over 1,600 bases, put him in the Hall of Fame, played for 25 years. He played, I don't know, like 12 teams, 14 teams. one of the best players. I wrote a little thing a couple of years ago. The best Oakland A's player I saw was Ricky Henderson. Mm-hmm. And I saw Canseco on my wire. But Ricky was a guy, when the A's were not scoring, that he would walk, steal second, advance to third on a fly ball, and then score on a sacrifice fly, and they could win. They had Dave Stewart and Bob Welch. They have some great pitchers in those years. And then Tony La Russa came over, and they won, you know, they went to three World Series. But mm-hmm. my point was that the game has evolved a lot. And, you know, it used to be a pitcher, a good friend of mine, and Juan Marichal, when I broadcasted for a few years at Giants. And I asked Juan once, he was always at Old Candlestick Park and sometime now at Oracle Park. I asked him, do you want to come in the air? And he sat with me, and I said, what would you have told your manager, I believe it was Alvin Dark, if he told you before the game or your pitching coach, give me six good innings. And yeah. Juan told me in Spanish, what? Six? I'm not here to pitch six. I'm here to pitch at least nine. See, and that attitude, those pitchers, and he used to throw in the winter. All those pitchers were throwing all the time. It was that many injuries like the kids. Mm-hmm. Everybody throws 100 miles an hour now, but everybody's hurt. So it's a completely different world. Pitching has really changed the game, in my opinion.
And it's interesting you mentioned, and you might be able to help me with this. I remember hearing about Juan Marichal and one of the famous games. He pitched, I don't know, threw like 200 pitches or something in some big critical game. You may not remember that, but that wasn't unheard of.
No, that was, I believe, the early 60s. Mm-hmm. I think I was against Warren Spahn in Milwaukee. I think they went 14 innings, and Willie Mays won it with a home run. That's a famous game.
Yeah.
And I believe there was an anecdote. I was not there, no. But I read about it. That's the beauty of baseball. There's more books written on baseball in the Library of Congress than any other sport in the world.
Yeah.
Go to Washington, D.C. Baseball has been documented more than any other sport, at least in the United States. I don't know worldwide. But the game goes that there was an anecdote that the manager came out. He wanted to take Juan Marichal. I said, no, that's a guy, 42 years old, Warren Spahn, pitching, and he's still pitching. Why can't I stay in the game? He told the manager, I'm staying. And he won it at the end because Willie Mays, probably the greatest player of all time to date, hit a home run to win it. And that was one of the most historical games of all time. So I'm sure ESPN might be running those games. I hope they do that if this situation with this virus keeps going and stops baseball from starting.
This year's team, and this is something else you love about the game, you could say, there are some guys that could play in any era and any time, right? Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, those are our favorites, you know, guys like that. On this team, this A's team, I think you have a couple of them. I mean, I think something about Chris Davis, I love that guy. I don't know what it is. He's barely bigger than me. I'm fat, but you know, but he only weighs like 200 pounds and change, and is a power hitter a couple of years ago all of a sudden. And then Marcus Semien, what a amazing season. And you know, you got guys like Matty Chapman over at third. Those guys could play any era, any time.
Yes, I was so pumped up, is the two words, pumped up to be an opening season. We were hoping to open the 26th against the Minnesota Twins. As you know, the Twins established a new record, 307 home runs last year. Mm-hmm. They got eight guys over 20 home runs apiece, tremendous team. And the A's, you mentioned Chapman, is a terrific player. He's going to win a lot of gold gloves at third base. Mm-hmm. Then you have Matt Olson at first, a guy with a potential 40 to 50 home runs. And then you have a good pitching staff. I think the strength of the A's, if they're healthy, is their pitching staff. This kid, the left-handed kid, Jesus Luzardo, he's lights out. They got A.J. Puck, he's a young pitcher. He got some problems in spring training a couple of weeks ago before they closed it, but he's okay. And they got Frankie Montes, who came in the deal a couple of years with the Dodgers. He's also a flamethrower. They have a very, very good pitching staff, young arms. In a division that, you know, Houston is going to be favored again. I give it to them, but so much turmoil in Houston. The best thing Houston did this winter is to hire Dusty Baker.
I agree.
I mean, it's the calm after the storm. Dusty, I never heard a player saying anything negative about Dusty Baker. And I traveled with him when Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent weren't getting along, and Barry was hitting a home run every 2 days or whatever. He ended up at 762 now, the home run king. But I traveled with Dusty and did the Giants, and Dusty was one of the great players, managers I ever seen. But I think the A's, I had the feeling the A's are going to win that division if we ever play this year. I think they have the they have a good manager. You know, Brent, Bob Melvin is an excellent manager. Yeah. He's a very, very studious guy at the game. He's young enough in his early 50s. He gets along with all the players. He's not really a statistical guy like now, you know, like the stats go now, you know, but he's a little bit old school, but he understands that things have changed. And he's just a great manager for this young team. So I like the A's this year. I picked them to win. I never done that, but I thought this year is the year for them.
I agree. I mean, and for Melvin, his 10th season, I mean, that's forever now in the major leagues, 5 postseason appearances. So, and he has, you know, in quote-unquote oft-overlooked Oakland, because, you know, it's not a small market. I can't believe people would say that. But, you know, an oft-overlooked, nobody ever expects because, you know, they're not going out and spending the kind of money the Yankees, Red Sox are spending, and yet they still win every year. It means you're doing some stuff right. We're going to take a break. And Amore P. Gonzalez is my guest. He is the play-by-play voice of the Oakland A's on the Spanish radio side. And we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit more about Dusty Baker because he's one of my favorites of all time, too, as a player as well as a manager. And then talk about some of our other favorites over the years. I'm going to try my best to see if I can rattle off the swinging A's lineup when we come back. We'll see. No cheat. I'm not going to cheat, though. I'm not going to cheat. I'll see if I can do it. And I was in Atlanta growing up, so that'd be pretty good if I could. All right, we'll be back with Amore in just a moment. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Would you like to learn more about the Shasta County Grand Jury? Come to our informational meeting Wednesday, March 25th at Reading City Hall at 3 p.m. or visit our website for more information. Because if you don't ask the tough questions, who will?
Please apply now.
Hey, welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. Brent Weber with you. Speaking with Amarte Gonzalez, who is the Spanish language broadcaster for the Oakland A's, play-by-play guy, but he's called the game in English and Spanish and is kind enough to join us to help us kind of fill the aching gap in baseball fans' hearts this time of year with spring training called off on hold while we all move through this period of time, I'm trying to forget the name of it, the COVID-19 virus. So we're talking baseball, and I appreciate you joining me, Maury. Before we went to break, and you and I chatted a little bit about this, one of our favorite guys, my favorite because he began his major league career as a player in Atlanta, and one of the greatest trades ever made, if you're the Dodgers. See if I can figure it out. The Dodgers got a guy named Dusty Baker, Johnny B. Baker, traded from the Braves, after hitting 300-something as a rookie. And the Braves got, I'm going to try, Lee Lacy, Tom Pachorik, a bunch of guys I can't remember, and I'm no offense to any of them, but the point being, no one was in Dusty Baker's class. They got like six guys for him. But I remember Dusty, the last time I talked to him was an interview in spring training when I used to work for CNN Sports years ago. And he said one of the best days of his life, not trying to pick on Atlanta, but to say, was when he got traded. He said, A, he was going home to California, but B, the Braves wanted him to step in the shoes and be the next Henry Aaron. He said, could you? He's like, man, the next Henry Aaron? No one is going to be the next Henry Aaron. And so he was excited. Baseball, it turned out pretty good for him.
Well, and as you know, he was on the on deck circle.
That's right.
When Hank Aaron hit that famous home run.
Yeah. How about that?
He was on the on deck circle playing for the Braves. So he had a front row eyewitness to history, right?
Yeah. And,
Hank Aaron, one of the best 10 ever. You have to be there. And a nice guy who, by the way, I interviewed in Oakland, Brent, after he broke the Babe Ruth record. And his things, you're talking about changes in baseball. I got him after batting practice. He said, wait for me. And said, okay, can I talk to you 10 minutes? Did the interview in English and then I translate during the game, on the Spanish radio. Nowadays, a guy with that many home runs, there would be a press conference and there would be media from all over Japan, Venezuela, you name it. But now, those days, he's a very humble man, terrific player. Not only a home run hitter, Hank Aaron was a very good defensive player. He was a complete player. People forget because all the home runs he hit. He was an excellent player. But yes, Dusty is one of my favorites, all-time favorites. Every time that we play, when I was with the Giants, and we play the Giants, we play the A's, he says, hey, Maury, your favorite manager is here, Tony. Now, the thing with Tony, I was born the same day and the same year, October 4, 1944. The only difference is Tony La Russa was born in Tampa, Florida, 200 miles north. I was born in Havana, Cuba.
Yeah.
So every time I see Tony, I say, oh, you got more hair than me, but I'm still younger. I look younger than you, and he laughs, And Tony's a very serious guy, Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
But Dusty is a unique manager. He really is, because he gets along so well with the players, with the media, with the fans. It's unique. You don't see that much. Maybe Joe Torre in New York, who's a tough market.
Mm-hmm.
But Dusty, I'm so glad for Dusty that he's going to manage again.
And he's also with us. I always felt that he was just an honest man. And
yes,
he looked at you when you asked him a question, even if there were 20 media members there. I coach young reporters, and I've even coached athletes before. I say, make eye contact. Listen, if you make it a one-on-one interview for that person for one question, and you will become, you'll become better. And Dusty Baker is one of those guys. He will listen to your question out of 200 people there, and at least try to answer to you. And I always liked that. I just felt, and then when you do talk to him one-on-one, he says hi. you really feel like he knows you, you know, or he's saying hi.
He's Dusty is a great human being, down to earth. The years I traveled with the Giants, sometimes he would come on the team bus. We just say we're in Pittsburgh, right? Come to the team bus to say, can I sit here? So, of course, you know, but they sit on the front, the manager. Sometimes I sit second or third row. I was in-house media. I was working for the Giants, not for the radio station. And he would say, Maury, will you walk that guy in the seventh inning? He said, I don't know. You know, he would ask an opinion. You know, he's the manager, right? I'm not going to tell the manager what to do. And it's a beautiful man, and I'm so happy for him. I had a doubt. I thought he probably is not going to manage his year, but, you know, then the Astros make that decision, which I already said, for me, is the best decision they made this season. I mean, in the preseason, anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, baseball fans in California, 1988, that World Series, yes. you were there.
Yes, sir.
The Eckersley pitch.
Yes. Too many slider to Kirk Gibson. You know, I was my partner, rest in peace, a gentleman from Nicaragua, Evelio Mendoza, mm-hmm. Very nice man. And I was saying, we were talking about it, that Kirk Gibson, he couldn't take batting practice. My partner says, well, you know, he's a good hitter. I know he's a good hitter, you know, playing Detroit, whatever. And then he hit that home run. And I mentioned in our post-game wrap-up, that with all respect to the A's, that game, a first game of a World Series, mm-hmm. had the feeling, Brett, of a seventh game, the way they won it. Because the A's were winning with a microcosm, the team they were, right? Dave Stewart, the guy. Dave Stewart, 4 years in a row, won 20 games. That doesn't happen anymore. Okay. He did that in New York. He'll have a statue outside Yankee Stadium, but he played in Oakland. I understand the markets. And then you have, like you mentioned, Dennis Eckersley, arguably the best closer of his times in the Hall of Fame, 370-some games saved. Tony La Russa, you know, and Canseco hit that home run, hit that the camera in Dodger Stadium in center field, never forget that. So I said, here we go, the A's are going to win the game because that's the way they have won. Those years they were winning 102, 108 games a year. And then Kirk Gibson, the beauty of baseball, you know, mm-hmm. Kirk Gibson hit that home run. And with all respect to Dodger fans who are not, I consider them very laid back because mm-hmm. I traveled. You go to places like Philadelphia, people standing up, screaming, New York, of course, Boston. And that stadium went up. When that home run cleared right field, Dodger Stadium went up. I think 100 feet in the air. It was an incredible moment. And I never forget that. Yeah, that was one game that I called that I could never forget.
And it's one of, you know, obviously one of the greatest moments. And, again, I keep going back to MLB, and I know they had a great series about that and, you know, showed. And Gibby's had his health issues over the years recently, and, you know, it's kind of cool to be living, to have lived some of these moments. So I'm going to try. I'm going back to the swinging A's. I'm going to let me see how I can do. I'm going to mess up. I'm already freezing in the second baseman, but maybe that'll come around. Campy Campanaris, who you mentioned is a dear friend of yours, and I would, I was a little kid playing APBA baseball. You know, the Braves were on TV, but not every day until later. And, you know, so I was listening to games on the radio. That's where I'd pick it up, reading box scores. So we're talking the early 70s. And let's see. So Campy, Sal Bando, Joe Rudy, Gene Tennis.
Right, catcher.
Was Ray still catching? Fossey still catching?
Ray Fossey, yeah, I believe.
He got hurt there, missed some time.
At the end, but they you mentioned before.
So let me think of in the outfield, Rudy, great catches, some guy named Jackson.
Yeah, Reggie in right field.
Yeah, and then what's the other great good outfielder I'm missing? I'm missing an outfielder and a second baseman.
Well, the second baseman that played a lot was Mike Andrews. Charlie Finley was an eccentric, as we mentioned before. Very astute man. He knew the game. He's the one owner that I've met person to person that knew most out of there. I never met Mr. Steinbrenner. I probably saw him in person in the Yankee Stadium, but I never talked to him. But Charlie Finley knew the game, mm-hmm. and he put a good team. And when you mentioned Campanaris, Reggie told me many times the actual MVP of this team is Campy. He's the Roadrunner. Monty Moore was the our announcer, English announcer. He's still living, retired, had been someplace in Fresno, Southern California, Central California. And Reggie used to tell me, and I used to talk to Reggie in Spanish because he's part Puerto Rican. His middle name is Martinez, Hinaldo Martinez Jackson. He would tell me, no, the real MVP here. And for Reggie to say that, you know, I joke with Reggie, thank you for letting me live in your world, Reggie, you know. But he would tell me, no, the real MVP here is Campy. Man, he said, Campy gets on base, and we win the game. So Campy was really the one of the engines of that team, the starter, you know, that team. He gets on base and things happen. But, yeah, Joe Rudy, you know, he's got some great moments. And, of course, the pitching staff, they always had good pitching.
Was Catfish still there when you?
Yes, yes, he was. I remember when he came, he signed with the Yankees. I talked to him. He was one of the first guys, actually, who signed. It was a big $3.5 million was a scandal then.
Right.
Yeah.
He made $50,000 the year they won the championship in 72.
Right.
I'm cheating now. I'm cheating it now because I'm looking at Baseball Reference now.
Yeah. Charlie was one of those guys, you know, he brought the team from Kansas City. He had Charlie O, the mule. And then that when Wally Hass bought the team, the Levi Strauss family, it changed. They hired Tony La Russa, who I remember when I first met him, we went to a good restaurant in Oakland. It's not there anymore. For breakfast, and I ordered bacon and eggs. He says, I can't eat here. I said, why? I'm a vegetarian. I said, well, eat something else. But Tony is very serious.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Fame manager. He's a great manager. He's one of two only, right? Sparky Anderson won World Series with both teams, with the Reds and with the Tigers. And then Tony has won with the Cardinals and with the A's. Only two in history. So he's very good. He's a great guy. He lives here in the Bay Area. Sometimes I see him at the A's. I don't know who he's working for, but he's always working for an owner, you know. But he's so serious. You know, sometimes I tell him a joke in Spanish, try to laugh a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Dusty's the other way around. Dusty loves the joke, you know, but he's serious too when it comes to the game. But he's different, more of a human. Sometimes Tony's too mechanical. I say, relax, Tony. I used to tell him that. He said, yeah, you'll say, I know. So it's the beauty of the game. Everybody got, like you mentioned before we started this, the chat, that, you know, that everybody has a personality, you know, and Tony is very studious of the game. He's an attorney, went to Florida State, never really worked as a lawyer, but he knows the game too, you know.
Well, we're going to take another break. I hate taking breaks, but we have to. We're going to take another break, and we will return with my guest, Mori P. Gonzalez, who is the play-by-play voice of the Oakland A's on the Spanish side. We have we'll have another 8 or 9 minutes, I guess, after the break, and we will talk about that world championship team, and, you had them in 89, right? So we'll talk about that, and then a little Hall of Fame and stuff like that. Don't go away, it's Scorecard Scribblings.
So what's Scorecard Scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Redding Rodeo Grounds in Redding, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Redding or through reddingrodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
Legendary Major League play-by-play voice, Amari P. Gonzalez, is my guest tonight. Voice of the Oakland A's. And for any little kid who gets to grow up and be a baseball manager, to be part of a broadcast team, of a world championship team, has got to be something. And you did that in 89, right? Amari, you there? Amari.
Yes, sir.
Oh, did you hear me? Nope.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
I was just saying, to be part of a, you know, we all dream we're going to play in the major leagues and play in a World Series and win a World Series. Next best thing would be broadcasting, and you got to do that in 89 when the A's won, right?
That's correct.
What was that season?
The earthquake.
Tell us about the Bay Bridge series and the earthquake, and just that's history. It's phenomenal history.
Well, you know, I think in the West Coast, it's the only time two teams in the same market, the same area, because mm-hmm. Oakland and San Francisco is basically the same market,
right,
divided by the Bay Bridge. It's about approximately 12 miles. First time that two teams, one from the American League, the A's, and the Giants from the National League, make it to a World Series. So the Bay Area went crazy. I remember that. It was just a feeling like almost like an Olympic type of feeling, you know, and the half of the Bay was for the A's, the other half for the Giants. Giants always have more fans in the Bay Area because mm-hmm. they came here before in 1958 from the Polo Grounds in New York. The A's always been the black sheep of the family. However, to this day, the A's have won 4 World Series and the Giants have won 3. You know? So, but that was a unique experience. And as we know it, as history has it, the A's won 2 games before the earthquake and 2 after the earthquake. Probably in my lifetime, the most memorable moment in sports, and maybe in my lifetime, was October 17, 1989, a couple of minutes past 5 o'clock, when the Candlestick Park, I was in an auxiliary press box almost next to the roof, which the whole thing started shaking. And I thought, I bought the farm, right? That's it. I mean, we're going to come down there. I'm not going to survive. And I did, thank God. But the A's just have the Giants' number. You know, and I thought they should have won the 88. The 88 A's might have been a better team than the 89 A's.
Like,
but, you know, the Dodgers surprised the whole world. A lot of people were writing. I have a friend in Miami who was covering the World Series, Manolo Alvarez. I know he's still around. And he asked me, it's going to be a sweep, right, Maury, because the A's are so superior. The Dodgers were not that good of a team.
Yeah.
They made it to the World Series, sure. But compared to the A's, I mean, the A's were loaded with Ricky Henderson. They got everybody.
I mean, nobody feared Mickey Hatcher. Right?
Mickey had...
Nobody feared him, but there
no,
he was.
No, I mean, yeah. He was... That was... To all the World Series I've done, that's the most unique.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for obvious reasons, it was stopped in the middle by an earthquake. The commissioner was an interim commissioner, Faye Benson, and who... I thought, by the way, that we're not going to... It's going to be no World Series, right?
Right.
But he said, no, it's going to be postponed 11 days later, I believe. Restarted, and the A's won the last 2 games, and they swept. But that was the most unusual, one of the most unusual sporting events I have covered, really, to be honest. Nothing surpasses that, and because you see, the Angels and the Dodgers are never playing a World Series.
Right.
So in the West Coast, that's it. We have 5 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Padres, no, along there in the San Diego. So this is the only time two teams of the same area has met in the fall classic.
And I look at that lineup and the young guys that were coming along, and I think, boy, you had to be really excited for the future, because you got guys like Gallego, the starter at short, but then this kid Walt Weiss is coming up.
Yes.
And then you got guys like, Hondo, you got Dave Henderson in the outfield, 30, prime of his career, but then you got a guy, some kid named Canseco coming up, and McGuire's, 25, and Tony Phillips, who was a veteran by that point, but still had a few more years. And the old guy was, Dave Parker. And he still did it. Yeah, they had everything. And young guys coming up.
And they had a very good catcher in Terry Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Very good catcher. Solid catcher. A good hitter. A dangerous hitter. That was a tremendous – Carney Lansford. I mean, they had a lot of – Lansford won a batting title, I believe, with the Angels in 1981 in the early 80s. He played with those A's teams for some years too. The A's were such a good team. They had Ricky leading off, of course. Might be it's the best leadoff hitter I ever saw.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I think he's the
some other great ones too. But that team was just made for the whole season. But yeah, the '89 World Series was a special moment. I will never forget it. I mean, it really. I thought, that's it. I'm going to sign off from this world right there, that October 17th.
Well, I've been promising all these things I want to talk to you about. We're going to run out of time, so hopefully I can talk to you into doing this again. But I do want to talk about and you're very humble, but and I'm taking this information out of the A's media guide for this year, but you're inducted into the Cuban Sports Hall of Fame in 2004, Hispanic Heritage Baseball Museum in 2004, Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame in 2009, the VP of the Hispanic Heritage Baseball Museum and Hall of Fame, which you are very active with, and I'm very interested in learning more what's going on there. You take great pride in these things. I mean, you're not patting your back, but I think it is important for people to realize that it took a lot of work for Spanish language baseball to get into most of the ballparks, and it needs to be in every city. And I know you should be proud of the work you've done and have been honored with. You should be in Cooperstown, my friend. That time
will come. Well, thank you. I was nominated with a Four Freak Award a couple of times, but I'm blessed. I keep working. I still like what I do, which is for me. I have a good dentist who's Cuban too. I'm raised here, and he says, "Maury, I would pay to do what you do." I said, "Well, I'll put you there. You pay me, and I listen to you." So I'm blessed. Everybody wants to do well. It used to be everybody wanted to be a play-by-play guy, do commentary. But I'm blessed. I'm happy that I could do it, and it's a pleasure for me talking to people like you. I share your passion for the game, and I hope that we have people like you. And more people are interested in the game of baseball. It's becoming very mechanical now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same baseball that when you and I were kids, obviously. But it's a pleasure for me to be in your show.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody who knows me and listens to this station, I got on this station because my friend Rick Bassetti, who you remember from the A's,
mm-hmm.
Runs the Colt 45s, a summer league baseball program. Bill Plummer, his lifelong friend, former Cincinnati Red and Mariners manager, also mm-hmm. lives here. And I got a chance last year to do their games on the radio, summer Woodbat collegiate baseball. And you know what? For me, it could have been Game 7 of the World Series. It's a way just being able to call the games. If you get a chance to do it and you love the game, it doesn't matter where you are or who's on the lineups. It's the same feeling, really. I wish I could do that every day.
Well, now, congratulations for that. The one thing I have not done, and I don't World Series and work All-Stars and all that stuff, we know, is the World Baseball Classic. I never cover a game for some reason. And I love to, because the passion of those countries for baseball is unbelievable. Dominican against Cuba, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Panama. I mean, the World Baseball Classic comes every 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot about it. But they have some great stars there. And the passion for the game in Latin America is to an all-time high now for baseball.
Well, so there are still goals for my friend and our guest tonight, Amore P. Gonzalez, who the pioneer in Spanish baseball radio play-by-play from the Bay Area. When the season cranks out, I'm going to try to brush my Spanish up so I can listen to more of the voice of the A's. Amore P. Gonzalez, thank you for joining us tonight on Scorecard Scribblings.
Thank you, Fred. My pleasure. My best to your producer and to everybody.
All righty. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jared. See you next week.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.